there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Friday, January the 22nd. Thanks so much for stopping by. Let me just give you a little background information. First of all, I really do appreciate you being here. Tough show today. Tough show because I got a tough message for you. We're going to try to keep it as positive as possible, and I think overall it is positive, but it's a rough day. I woke up this morning, and I typically what I do in the morning is I head into the living room and flip over. We have one of these flip calendars on the dresser in one of the dressers in the living room. So I did. I flipped over the date, and I noticed it said Friday, January the 22nd. And all of a sudden, I just started feeling sad because what had happened is that I forgot momentarily, from that time when I woke up, I forgot that today was the anniversary, if you can call it that, of Roe versus Wade when abortion was legalized in the United States. It happened back in 1973. So this day is declared by the church, by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, as a day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. There's no way I can say this doesn't sadden me. And we're going to talk about it throughout the show, what we can do and why I feel that there is hope. We can easily become overwhelmed by this. Well, I really want you to stick around with me and let's try to get through this. Let's look for the silver lining in the cloud. And I believe there is one because God is in charge. He is in control. And if not, then we might as well just pack it in and just forget about everything. Because if he's not in control, then we're all in big trouble. But he is in control. And if we accept that, even when we're faced with the reality of it being legal to murder unborn children, and we'll just talk United States here because this show is based in the U.S., but it's a worldwide thing for the most part. It's legal throughout the world to murder unborn children. That's sad. And you should get angry about that. But at the same time, what we see here is a consequence both of ignorance, and I don't mean that in a negative, in a bad way, an insulting way or pejorative way. I mean ignorance in the sense of somebody just doesn't understand. Some people just don't understand what is going on here. And also, it's a consequence of free will. God gave us free will. So we can do good or we can do evil. That's a possibility. And he decided that he wanted us to have free will. That was his decision. He did not have to give us free will, but he did. And because we have free will, we are able to love him and freely do good, or we can choose to not love him and do evil. We can choose that. All you need to do is turn on the news every day and you see people are committing crimes. People are doing evil actions. It happens. We live in a fallen world. This isn't heaven. That's a good thing, right? You know, it's funny. We have a natural desire to preserve our lives, to avoid death. There's that aversion to death that we have. It's really built into us, and that's the way God gives us that instinct, so we preserve our lives. But yet, this world is so imperfect. If you really look at it, and especially with the aging process thrown in, you know, as you get older and your body starts to break down and your loved ones are no longer here, It's you wonder, like, why do we hold on to this so much? But the good news is we were created for eternal life. We were created for eternal life with God in heaven. So, yes, this world is imperfect, but it's not going to last that long, or at least our time on this earth is not going to last that long. So I would say don't get too upset by the imperfection, by the difficulties, by the evil that you see all around you, because this isn't heaven. We're only here for a while. That doesn't mean that we can't experience heaven on earth, a part of heaven on earth, through our encounter with God each day. We can. But we see things that are not of God happening. God's not happy when his children are being murdered. You know? He's not happy about that. He created them, and they're being murdered. You can use different words. Choice. Reproductive rights. So, I mean, whatever you want to call it. But you have a life, an embryo, a baby, a fetus, you know, different terminologies. But it's life. And then a procedure takes place, an abortion, right? And then what was alive, an individual, a living being who was alive, is now dead. So, you know, I don't know how that couldn't be murder. We're not talking intent here. I'm not talking that the people who decide to have an abortion or those who perform the abortion, I'm not saying their intent is to torture or murder a child. You know, and this is where it gets weird. I don't know how you don't recognize this, but I believe that for some reason, people have managed to convince themselves that this isn't a life, or this is a moral good, or so. I'm not getting in anybody's head, because I can't judge their thinking. I can't judge their motives. That's what the church teaches us. I can judge their actions. But I'd like to believe that all people are essentially good, and they don't think it's fun or a good thing to murder the unborn. But somehow the logic has gotten twisted, and this has turned into a civil rights or a freedom of choice or a reproductive rights issue. But honestly, you've got a life in some stage, in some form, that if you did nothing, that life would turn into a baby or would be born as a baby. You know, you got the growth process. And if you did nothing, a baby would be born. But when you intervene with a procedure called abortion, instead, you get a corpse. You get a dead fetus, embryo, child, whatever, you know, the terminology doesn't matter. Something is living. A procedure takes place, and that living being is now dead. I don't know how that's not murder. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a genius, hardly. But even to my feeble way of thinking, my feeble mind tells me that it's a murder. But because it's legal, it's not considered to be a criminal act. How it's legal, you know, I go through this. It especially hits me every year. I mean, I think about it a lot, but it hits me hard on this date every year. I just scratch my head and I think, what are we talking about here? I've got to fight for the right of the unborn to not be murdered. When I stand up for life, I am protecting innocent children from being murdered in the wombs of their mothers. That's what we're fighting for with the pro-life movement. Right? I mean, it seems like insanity that we have to do this. But that's the way it is. That's the reality. And I've known some, I would say, intelligent, caring people, people who had children of their own, who claim to be pro-choice or pro-abortion for a variety of different reasons. And all I can think is they're not thinking this through. I mean, these are not barbarians. These are not the people you see on the lead story of the evening news who are committing violent crimes. I've known parents, decent people, who think this is okay. And I'm really convinced that they're just misinformed, confused. But I believe there is hope for them. You know why? Because there's hope for all of us. We have all come from different backgrounds. We've been through various things, and God never gave up on any of us. And He will never give up on any of us. So I can't give up on anybody who supports abortion. And I do want to talk about this today and you know, call it what it is. Call their actions, their opinions, what they are. They're wrong. I mean, I can't lie about that. Murder is murder. Now, they might not know they're wrong. And I don't really want to make excuses for anybody. Anybody that has an abortion, or anybody that supports an abortion, or for our elected officials who make it easier to have abortions, they're all wrong. They're all really wrong. That's evil. The actions, you know? The actions are evil. It's black and white. And this isn't my opinion. I'm just going by what the church teaches me. Of course, it's my opinion too, but I'm glad the church makes this clear. There's really no gray areas when it comes to, it's either murder or it's not murder. And when a life is snuffed out intentionally, again, maybe with good intention, I know that sounds crazy, I don't want to sound like a nut, but maybe with good intentions, and the intentions may be, well, the mother didn't want the child, or this could be a dangerous birth, or any number of reasons. People might think, well, this isn't a bad thing, and they go ahead and do this. But the action of the murder of the child is always wrong. It's evil. So, you know, the more I talk about this, now, if this sounds negative, I want you to hang with me. We're going to pray in a minute, and then we'll come back and chat why I think there is hope and what we can do. You know, we're not powerless on this. We are not powerless, but I believe, and I've been asking the Holy Spirit about this. I wrote about this in my daily email reflection today. I believe that there is a right way and a wrong way to respond to this. And I want to make sure that I respond in the right way, the way God wants me to respond. And I'm going to encourage you to do the same. So why don't we pray, and we'll talk more about it, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father, thank you for your presence with us right now. Father, this is a rough day. You know that. It's easy to feel powerless today. It's easy to feel angry today. Father, on behalf of our human race, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we are murdering our unborn children. Father, please have mercy on our country, on our world. Please change the hearts of anyone who is pro-abortion, who thinks this is okay. Father, as Jesus said when he died on the cross, I'm going to borrow his words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that, Father. I believe that anybody who supports abortion does not know what they're doing. They would have to. They would have to be unaware. So I ask you, Father, to have mercy on them. Have mercy on anybody who has had an abortion or assisted in one. Allow them to experience your forgiveness. And we just ask, Father, that you change the hearts of those who are supportive of this practice. I ask, Father, that you give me the words for the remainder of the show, and that you open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message this day. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my name is Gary Zimek. Thank you for praying with me. A little somber today. You know, it's a Friday, and January the 22nd, the day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. It's a sad day. We commemorate we remember. I don't know what word to use to really do justice to the tragedy that we experience now. The day that we commemorate the legalization of abortion in the United States. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. My message is always hopeful. I'm going to turn this around. We're going to have hope today. God's in charge. And I needed to talk about this today, though, because you and I, we were friends. We were family. I need to be honest with you. And I can't sugarcoat this or ignore it and talk about some other message today. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. We absolutely need to talk about this today and recognize abortion for what it is. So let me just say, if you want to find out more about my work, if you're new to the show, followingthetruth.com is my website. But I want to continue talking about this today. It's very easy to get overwhelmed by what's going on, especially if you are pro-life, and get discouraged, despondent, feel hopeless about what's going on in the country. Especially since we now have an administration in office who is very vehemently pro-choice, pro-abortion. And we can feel as if, you know, we just want to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And here's why I'm saying that. No matter who's in charge of the country, of your state, you know, the national level in Congress, God is ultimately still on the throne. He is in charge. He is allowing this to happen. Now, what we don't want to do, we can get mad. You should get mad. When the unborn are being murdered in their mother's womb, you should absolutely get mad. But don't let that anger, that justifiable anger, turn into sinful anger. What I mean by that is we don't want to start hating people and vilifying those who are in support of abortion, our leaders, your friends, coworkers, celebrities. We don't want to hate them because God doesn't hate them. We don't want to judge their motives. We can't. We can't. That is not something we can do. I don't know why somebody would support a barbaric action such as abortion. I don't know what's going on in their head. And I need to, I can't condemn people. I can't condemn people. And Jesus has said that. I can't say somebody's going to hell because of their beliefs. You know, specifically because they believe in abortion. I can't say that. It's not my business. It's not my job. Can I condemn their actions? Yeah, I can. Their actions are wrong. Anybody who supports abortion or who makes it more available, they're doing something evil. Their actions are wrong. Again, I'm not trying to get in their heads and figuring out why they're doing what they're doing. But what they are doing is wrong. That's good to you know, it's good to say that. But we want to be careful that we don't slip into that mode of just criticizing everyone else who is wrong and never accepting any responsibility. And what I mean by that is by just pointing fingers at everyone else and saying what they're doing wrong, we don't try to take responsibility ourselves for doing what we can do. And what I mean by that is you and I, if we are pro-life, we have the ability to pray. We have the ability to fast. We have the ability and the duty to speak out. Again, I can't be sarcastic. I can't make fun of people. I can't spew venom. That's sinful. Okay? But I can speak out and say, this person is doing the wrong thing. You know, I could speak out and say, I am pro-life. And here's why. I believe that the unborn should be protected in the mother's womb. This is what I could do. So I can pray, I can fast, I can speak out, and I should. I should do all those things. I should vote pro-life. You know, I can do that. I can do that. And I should get involved. At one time, I was involved in praying the rosary outside of an abortion clinic with a group of other people. And, you know, it was a powerful experience. It was a powerful experience. There are crisis pregnancy centers that are always looking for volunteers. You know, there are things you can do. Now, the March for Life was canceled this year, understandably, with COVID. I mean, I get that. It's a shame. But maybe you can go on the march next year. Maybe you can take part in expressing your opinion about the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. Because if all we do is point fingers and not do anything, that's wrong too. You know? Because, and this is going to sound strange, and please don't take this the wrong way. I hope this isn't too painful, but I just want to say logically, if you think about this, as a human race, right, we are responsible for the murder of our unborn. As a human race, because we're all brothers and sisters, if you know? So technically, we are responsible as a human race. Now, me as someone who is pro-life, if I'm not doing anything, again, prayer, fasting, involvement, speaking out, voting, if I'm not doing something to prevent the murder of the unborn, then to some degree, a lesser degree, but to some degree, I'm responsible. If I remain silent, then there's culpability there. If I'm doing nothing to stand up for life, then I bear some degree of guilt in the murder of the unborn. That's why We need to do something. We need to do something. Post on Facebook. Post on Twitter. You know, you don't have to sin. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to curse. You don't have to say so-and-so's going to hell. You just put something. You know, I'm sure there's memes going around that are that can be used, or a statement. Praying for the unborn today. Something. I think each of us needs to do something. We can't force other people to change their minds, but we can be an example. We can get the word out. We can love these individuals who we may disagree with. We can pray that they can be converted one day. Because I'll tell you something, I didn't always feel this way. I didn't care about abortion. I never thought about it. I know it sounds stupid, but I never gave it much thought until I saw a picture one day that changed my life. I saw what an abortion looks like. So, firsthand experience, I can tell you, people's minds can change. Don't stop praying for people who are supporting abortion. Please, pray for their conversion, okay? And then go out and do what you can. Fast. Give up something today and in the future. Make it part of your prayer. Pray for an end to abortion every day. Pray for people who are affected, who may have had an abortion. Pray for their healing. And if that's you, if you've done that, if you've had an abortion, God loves you. He will forgive you if you ask. God's merciful. And I can tell you that with 100% confidence. So there is hope. God is in charge. We're still alive. The human race still exists. The world is still spinning around. God hasn't given up yet. There's still time. Don't let your hope drain away. There is hope. Keep praying. Keep doing what you can. Keep remembering that God is in charge. Okay? Thanks for listening today. And again, tough message today, but I just felt I had to share it. Hope you have a good weekend, and God willing, I'll be back with you here on Monday on Following the Truth. God bless. Take care.